time now for Playing Doctor Podcast, brought to you by Internet. Did you Internet today? See your local dealer for details. Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're playing Doctor. So this week we're talking about the... I've lost track of how many episodes of second season of the great 2005 revamp series of Doctor Who on BBC.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of the fourth episode.
Yeah.
But they call the Christmas episode zero.
So this is the third episode.
Yeah.
And this week, Doctor Who is... joined by an old friend, so it's only fair that we're joined by an old but youthful friend. A friend of a long time on the show. Longtime friend, Drew Stewart. Hey, Drew, how are you doing this week?
Hey, guys, I'm doing real good. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited.
Thank you for coming back.
So this is your first appearance on second season.
Yes, as you can see, I've regenerated. I have this beard thing now.
Oh. Still not ginger, though.
Well, the beard is kind of red. You just can't really see it.
Okay. Yeah.
See, it's okay because beards are... You have a beard now, and beards are cool. See, for all
spoilers?
Of our
spoilers? Maybe?
Well, see, I think when we say certain things, they don't know it's a spoiler until we say, oh, spoilers.
Yeah.
And then they're like, wait, what does that even mean?
These are not the spoilers you're looking for.
What are they talking about? So, this week, the Doctor is in British public school.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun.
He is another brick in the wall.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All in all. I think there was the scene early on in the episode when they're in the cafeteria where some kid wanted some pudding.
Mm-hmm. You can't have any pudding until you eat your meat.
You can't have your pudding until you eat your meat.
Yeah. Yeah, there were lots of little starving orphans in this school.
And this episode is one of my favorite from second season because it marks the return of Sarah Jane Smith.
Yeah.
Who, instead of having a big reveal, is just really early in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Which everybody loves awesome. Sarah Jane.
Well, this was just before I guess she was so popular on this episode that they went ahead and pulled the trigger on Sarah
yes.
Jane Adventures.
Yeah, this was kind of like the prequel to the Sarah Jane Adventures, which is like the kids' version of Doctor Who.
Right. I've always said that Sarah Jane Doctor Who is kind of all ages.
Yeah.
The whole family can sit and get something out of it and enjoy it. Torchwood is definitely directed for the older, more mature mm-hmm. crowd. And then Sarah Jane Adventures is something that you can feel safe leaving the kids watching and
yes.
not be like, ah.
It's like the Nickelodeon version.
Yeah. And I think actually it came on CBBC, which I guess is children's BBC.
Probably
sort of like our CPBS.
Yeah.
Or Kids PBS or PBS Kids, whatever they call it now.
But there are no Muppets on this show.
There's no Muppets on this show. Well, I don't know. The Slitheens showed up on Sarah Jane Adventures a lot.
They're almost Muppets.
They're quasi-Muppets.
Oh, boy.
There's the Slitheen that lived in the trash can out in front of Sarah Jane's house.
Yes. We did see that on the one where Mickey became plastic on the...
The trash can, yeah. So Mickey was almost...
Mickey the Grouch.
He was... Yeah, he was auditioning for the Grouch role early on. So
anyway, so they're at DeVry Vale School.
DeVry?
Yeah, I think so. DeVry.
Is that their version of Sylvan Learning Centers?
I really don't know. They just
Sylvan
look like
sounds like an alien name that
yeah.
you. Oh, the Sylvans.
The Sylvan planet. Oh yeah. Yeah.
They educate our children, and. Brainwash them into coming up with the scary techniques of learning stuff. That one got away from me. It was going somewhere.
That tangent went nowhere.
Yeah,
wibbly wobbly timey
wimey. It just shot off into the distance, got absorbed by the pears, and then it was done.
Shoot it down. Yep. So anyway. But something weird is going on at the school, and Mickey has tipped off the Doctor and Rose. And recently, the headmaster, there's a new headmaster in town.
Like 6 months ago.
Yeah. And actually 3 months. I wouldn't have the error correctors come out.
Yes. Yeah, we don't need our good friend Kirby to hit us up on Facebook.
Hi, Kirby. So they've also replaced a lot of the staff, a lot of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor becomes one of their new teachers.
Ah. Well, physics.
Good old physics.
Physics. I hope you're getting all this. Physics.
He would be a great teacher.
No, he wouldn't. He would be worse than me with all the tangents.
No, but he's like one of those cool teachers that you have in school, you know? It's like, wacky.
He doesn't teach you about the class, but he teaches about life and...
Yeah.
Yeah, but halfway through the class, though, something's going to get his attention, and he's going to yell, run, and have the entire class chasing across
Wouldn't
the...
Wouldn't that be cool?
No.
Yeah, it would.
Yes, because
I'm like the non-chip-eating kid. I'm like, running.
Chips.
We have to point out that the new headmaster is fresh from Sunnydale High School.
Yes.
Oh.
He used to be the librarian there, if I recall correctly, or one of the administrators.
And he was a lot less evil.
Yeah, I think he finally got fed up with being ignored, and whenever he'd give recommendations, and it just kind of turned him against kids.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah.
There was this kid named Buffy Summers that was just so much trouble in his life that it finally just pushed him over the edge.
And he turned into a bat person.
He turned into the bat person.
So he was hanging out at a vampire school, and mm-hmm. now he's a bat.
Yes.
Interesting.
There's a connection.
It happens.
Yeah.
Now he's just hanging around, literally hanging.
In the bat cave.
No, the headmaster's office. Bat headmaster. Bad headmaster.
Bruce just shaking his head at you like,
no.
Ben, what are we going to do with you?
Now, eventually, we're going to have to start recording the video just so people can see some of Drew's grander silent reactions.
Yeah. Just imagine if Ben's going off on some kind of tangent, just me shaking my head slowly, because that's usually what's happening.
And that would become part of the drinking game. Whenever you shake your head, and then whenever I say something that embarrasses you, and you do the full face palm thing. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe she said that.
Or when I'm laughing so hard, I have to move away from the microphone to the other side of the room.
Well, see, that's where we would add the text on. We'll add the text on the video where it says, you know, as you start laughing and move away from the mic, it'll pop up the
move
caption.
Away from the mic to laugh.
Chocolate rain.
See, and I had to do that.
Chocolate doctor.
Okay, we're about
chocolate
what?
No, TARDIS.
He's white again.
Okay.
Anyway, so the headmaster.
Yes.
And some of the new staff, they're an alien race called Krillinites. No, shit. Say it again, see? Krillitanes.
Krillitanes.
And this is what I don't understand how I can say Raxacorica falopatorius without stumbling at all.
Right.
But I can't say Krillitanes.
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 Don't even don't think about it. Just Krillitanes.
I have to look at it and read it.
Yeah, she's staring at it. It's pretty funny.
I think when you look at it, that's what confuses you. Because
no,
all the letters, maybe your Ixlit did.
Only in my head.
Okay.
So, and apparently these creatures are like composites, like that. They take over a country or take over planets,
right?
And just take little bits and pieces, and they could even absorb their physical form, mm-hmm. not just
well racial characteristics knowledge. of the different species they encounter
right.
and take over,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. And one of the things that I noticed about them, they kind of reminded me of the Reapers from the Father's Day episode, like the big bat wings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't screech like that or anything. Well, they kind of did, but I guess. But
well, we don't get a big reveal on that. I thought that was kind of cool about the whole batwing-looking thing right off. But we do know something's up. Because I did like the scene where at the very beginning when the headmaster comes to his office and the little girl's sitting there.
The little orphan child.
Yeah, and the, you know, and it's the whole thing. You know something's really shady because why are you... I love his reaction.
Why are you here?
Why are you here? And it, not like, you know, concerned, why are you here, like my principal would have done if I was sitting... Mm-hmm. It was this, you're, you know, why are you here? You know, this is the whole annoyed with your existence. Yeah.
Well, what was it? She didn't feel well?
She didn't feel well and had a headache, and the school nurse had sent her to his office. And he's like, well, why don't you call your mother or something?
I don't have any parents.
Yeah, lives at the orphanage.
Oh, and no then, one to miss you.
No wonder the nurse sent you down. So now we already know that whatever's up, the nurse is in on it.
Yes.
And
just a hint for all you children out there who don't have parents. If someone says, oh, no one to miss you then, don't follow that person. Run the opposite direction.
Would you like some candy? Step into my van.
Yeah, headmaster danger.
But he's a person of authority. He's got to be trustworthy.
See, that's why I was lucky that my parents were part of the counterculture revolution in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole don't trust anybody over 30 was passed down to me.
Right.
Unfortunately, they were over 30 when they were telling me this.
Of course.
So I defied their power.
Yeah.
Much like these kids should have done, but they didn't.
Right. Right.
And I think that has something to do with the chips.
Yes, because...
They're sure. American
French
meaty French fries.
Yes. These are not chips.
Mm. Yeah, these aren't
chips in the
crisps.
American term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These is them good, big, home-style...
Freedom fries!
Freedom fries, all right!
Instead of calling them freedom fries, I don't know why we didn't take that as the opportunity to make the big jump to chips.
Because people would be confused. Because
people would be so
potato
confused.
Chips.
But what am I? But my Pringles. Yeah, they're crisps.
Yeah. And I've been working at the British restaurant long enough now that I always call them chips. You know? I mean,
that's
I wouldn't
cool.
go to McDonald's and say, like, oh, you want fries with that? No, I want chips. Bastard. Yeah, because
you know? Yeah, chips are not like the shoestrings.
Right.
Fries. They're the hefty, got mm-hmm. some weight to them fries.
But I do call them chips, and people have occasionally thought that I meant, like...
Potato chips.
Lay's potato chips. Or
I've caught myself, because I've watched enough Doctor Who and British television and eaten at the Highlander enough that I will occasionally be caught off guard when somebody says, do you want chips? Like, if I go to Subway and they ask mm-hmm. me if I want chips, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, last night I went out to dinner and I was getting a burger and she said it comes with chips. Or it'll be 99 cents extra for fries. And I was like, wait a minute. You just asked me if I wanted chips.
Oh. Yeah.
Some American place. Jeez.
Your Scottish restaurant is getting in your head.
Yeah. But
you
I kind of
didn't get the chips in America.
Oh, jeez.
Or at the school.
Or at the school.
Where,
no, I think you have to, because they were a little obsessed with the chips.
Yeah.
The posters in the hallway and everything, I thought that was...
Eat more chips.
Eat your chips.
And the British people make fun of us for being, you know, fat. When, you know, we've got our fancy school lunch programs where you feed us all healthy food and stuff, but here they are forcing chips down kids' throats.
I remember, I think I was in maybe 10th or 11th grade... That they actually talked about banning French fries from school lunches.
Really?
Because I think if you cook potatoes too long, there is the possibility of it becoming carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that happens, but...
Magic.
I'm not a doctor, but I talk about one on the radio or on podcasts.
And you do play one on the internet.
Yes, I play a doctor on the internet. But, no, it was this weird thing where they're like, oh, yeah, you should just ban them. And so then they started undercooking them.
Oh,
because that's
yuck.
Better. And
there's nothing worse than an undercooked.
No, you don't want it to be, like, still potato-y in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I love raw potatoes, though.
Yeah, but you can't have it, like, halfway. It has
right.
to be either raw or fully cooked.
It's like when I get steak and potato at one of our finer restaurants around here, and mm-hmm. it's not all the way through. It's just like, eh. Mm. Take this back. Ooh. Away from me.
Get away.
And I shoo the waitress away.
He does, too. He really does.
It's not something I'm proud of.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's all these signs over all over the place.
It's but, almost Orwellian. Eat more chips.
Yes, but there were no like cows painting the signs.
No.
Like
no.
Eat more chicken.
There'd be chickens making the sign saying "Eat more chips."
Yeah,
trying to pass the buck, or the buck, passing the buck. Yeah, there. Yeah.
Everybody, take a drink. Drew did a
double
face palm.
Wow. Yes. So, but the food here, they give out free food. Free school lunches.
Right, because you'll think better on a full stomach.
Yes, and these chips are bringing food.
Yes.
And it's compulsory, because there was a kid that was not eating the chips, and one of the, was it a lunch lady or something, came up, why aren't you eating the chips?
It was one of the teachers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why aren't you eating them? My mom said I can't eat them.
Yeah, he's got his own, he had his little Tupperware looking lunch thing with his sandwich.
He's probably like a vegan or something.
No. Some,
then he would eat the chips.
Yeah, he's a little chunky.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. He's like
and
on the
so
Atkins
he's,
diet.
Yeah, he's got the blood pressure thing. He's got the diabetes.
Diabetes.
And,
he's got a little Tupperware of Quaker's oatmeal.
Oh, yeah. But that's the reason he got the diabetes, and they didn't know, because when he was a kid, like smaller than he is now,
mm-hmm.
he would get the big bowl of oatmeal and then just like cover the top of it with like a half inch of sugar and then like stir it into it.
That's how I like it.
Yeah.
That's why
is
I got
it not
fungus.
How you're supposed to eat it?
That's how I eat it, but I think that leads you to the onset of the
beatus. The beatus.
Yeah. And then Wilford Brimley comes to your house and slaps you.
Yeah, he does. He slaps you right in the face with a box of Quaker oatmeal.
So that's one of the things you have to watch out for. Whenever you get diagnosed with the beatus, the next day there's going to be a doorbell ring. Doesn't matter where you are. You could move, get on a plane and leave, but there'll be a knock at the door or a doorbell ring. You open the door, Wilford Brimley. Smack! Welcome to the world of diabetes. And off he goes.
You have diabetes.
And then he goes, crawls back into his cocoon. Sleeps for another 100 years.
He does.
Your diabetes testis supplies.
I got them.
I've always heard him saying testes supplies. So you have to listen to it next time. Diabetes testes supplies.
Which ties into what I was trying to avoid saying, because, you know, the way you test your blood sugar, you'll feel a tiny prick. So that ties in.
And
I'm
we're
sorry.
Done. We're all gone.
And speaking of Mickey's in this episode. So,
Oh, poor Mickey.
Because he's kind of the impetus for getting them here.
Okay, what do the... We didn't talk about what the chips do. They actually do make you smarter, though.
They do.
That's something the doctor picked up on early on when he's teaching class. He starts questioning one of his little brainy kids, Milo. And you know a kid named Milo is...
He's a nerd.
He didn't actually eat the fries. He was just naturally
He was just
that.
Naturally
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a total nerd. You could see it right in his face. Nerd written across his forehead.
Because apparently all these kids are eating the chips, but Milo's the one that's raising his hand.
Yeah.
So he's the overachiever amongst the, you know, they're all like normal kids.
They all know the answers, but they're not gonna speak up in class. Mm-hmm.
Right. But the nerd
teacher.
Is the nerd is the one that has to raise the hand. Ooh,
I know.
Ooh, Mysticata. Ooh.
Wow.
Hi,
you are
I'm Ben.
Old.
I'm from the 70s. The 1870s. BC.
No, I was cracking up earlier just from your note here. Me eat chips. Make smart Go computers. I can't even say it.
Obviously, I have not been eating enough chips.
Make smart Go computers.
That's the episode title. Make smart, go eat. Yeah, meat eat chips.
Make smart, go computers.
Computers.
Okay. I'm glad I could contribute.
Yes, make sure you put that in the show notes so I can remember it. Because when this finally airs 6 months from now, I will have forgotten.
Yeah, I was impressed that even Rose is smart after she eats the chips.
Yes.
Even Rose. Yeah.
So that kind of insults me that
What's
you...
What's 2 plus 2? 4? Yes, she's improving.
The chips are working.
She didn't use her fingers this time. Jenny, I thought you'd appreciate it that, you know, the doctor is a teacher and she's just the lunch lady.
I did appreciate that. She was pissed off, too. She's like, I'm a lunch lady.
Well, it's one thing for the doctor to play dumb and pass as a 21st century Earth teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He could get, you know, you can always fake dumber.
Mm-hmm.
And since Drew's on, I guess I can go ahead and mention the Star Trek thing of, like, with the mirror universe.
Mm-hmm.
It was one thing for the, when they did the switchover on Classic Trek, it was easy for Kirk to pretend to be evil and, you know, go longer without being noticed than it was for the evil Kirk to try to pass as good Kirk.
Okay.
Yeah. I've always thought that was funny, how they immediately, the evil Kirk immediately blew his cover. Why isn't everybody dead? Die!
Exactly. So it's easy for the doctor to pass as dumber. He can play dumb.
See, I was thinking it might be kind of hard for him because he's so much more intelligent than humans, or he knows so much more than humans.
I think, though, he's good with kids.
Yeah. But, I mean, it. You know, I was thinking, is he going to screw up and try to teach them something that's way above their level because he doesn't realize?
Well, he might slip occasionally, and kids, though, will get that glazed over, You're going to get that naturally in school. So they would just think it was another one of those things that, oh, well, I guess. So, you know.
Maybe that's why they make him the physics teacher, in that physics doesn't change. While if he was the history teacher, I imagine that would be difficult for him.
Right.
When I was at Pompeii, I mean, I haven't gone there yet, but I will have then.
That's one of the things. I had a Western Civ teacher in college.
Mm-hmm.
That had been teaching Western Civ so long that the characters in the stories were like old friends. So she'd be talking about, you know, King Philip II of Spain, and she's talking about Phil. Phil had these problems. Holy smokes. And he would do this, and it was almost like she had told these stories and histories so many times.
They were just familiar to her?
Right, that it was just like part of her life. And
good old Phil.
Yeah, you know. And Hank, you know, Hank 8 was just a mess. What? But so, you know, I think it was safe to put the doctor at physics.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure he forged whatever he needed to get in there. Because
he probably just flashed his psychic paper, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how that would have worked on the aliens.
Right, that's
the headmaster. So he probably had to come down from like the school board. Yeah, here's your new teacher. Because there's still regular teachers at the school that are normal.
Not for long.
See, this is what I was wondering though. Is that okay? The teacher that he replaced had mysterious circumstances. She won the lottery even though she never played, and that's why she left. Why wasn't she replaced with somebody else from their little circle?
I think that the 13, because we find out there's 13 of them, and I think that they already pretty much had their set positions, and it was all like a preset plan, and you wouldn't want to, all of a sudden the lunch lady is now the physics teacher.
Right.
That even the kids.
But why would they set up the lottery win thing?
She must have been discovering something. Like she was
The doctor,
examining things.
Because she didn't play the lottery, and she...
Oh, the doctor.
Are you saying the doctor got rid of her?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Because they were saying that she never... You know, it's a crazy thing. She never played the lottery, and then the night before the drawing, it slipped under her door.
Because the doctor knows the numbers.
Right.
Because he can try... Okay. Oh.
So he...
That makes sense. I just naturally assumed that it was the, you know, the
Krillitanes.
No.
No, that's what I thought, too. And I was like, why wouldn't they just eat her? I thought that times that I've seen this.
Yeah.
I'm like, why didn't they just eat her?
No, the doctor's expression when the other teacher's telling him, he's like, oh, how about that? She won, really.
That makes sense. No, but
He needed to get in. Because Mickey told them, hey, something's going on. Mm-hmm. There was the UFO sighting, and all of a sudden the school...
No, it makes perfect sense. It never occurred to me. I just naturally assumed it was them.
As obvious as it is the other way for you, it was that obvious that it was the Doctor for me. And I, you know, it was one of those, why would you see it any differently?
Not see that, you idiot?
No. You should eat more chips.
I should. Obviously have
chips for everybody.
Chips, chips, chips.
I move away from the microphone to eat the chips.
Chips and spam. Sorry,
so we have a kitchen accident, though.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently these super smart aliens, well, I said there were 13, but apparently there were 14.
Yeah, there were.
Because they're moving this big thing of industrial waste-looking grease into the kitchen, or oil.
Yeah.
And
it's got like biohazard labels. And
they've got masks on and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're not really hiding it, because Rose is like in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
On the phone with Mickey talking, you know, the phone rings or whatever while she's watching them, and nobody seems to be like, oh, somebody's watching us. Oh.
Yeah.
So they know she's there or are not concerned that she's there. And there's a spill, and it gets on one of the crayon aliens. Or now I can't say it. Obviously.
Krillitanes.
Krillitanes. I'm making you say this as much as possible.
Okay.
And the...
Krillitanes.
They take the lunch lady that got spilled upon into the little office off to the side there.
She's screaming and...
And so Rose is dialing 911 or emergency services or whatever. I guess 999. Circle 15 plus pound apple. Whatever.
Wish I had that IT crowd number memorized when they changed it from 999 to like a string of 15 characters.
I'm going to add that in here. Nice. I'll run the risk of copyright infringement.
Do it.
Do it.
That's...
So she goes to call the emergency services,
like,
and they're like,
doing?
No, don't do that. She'll be fine.
It's just a flesh wound.
And all of a sudden there's like this explosion, and Rose looks, and the other lunch lady, I love though, just that calm expression. Now she does that.
Yeah.
She makes explodey sounds, apparently. She's fine. She does that.
It's just gas.
Yeah. Too many chips. You gotta watch out. The chips will make you a little gassy, apparently.
Yeah.
And explodey.
Now, I could never really quite figure out what exactly this oil was. I mean, I know they were using it to fry the chips, I guess, mm-hmm. right? But they said it was krillitane oil.
Yes.
And they said that, you know, the doctor said that they changed their composition so much that... it was now toxic to them. Something that mm-hmm. was natural to them before is now toxic. But what was it? I mean, is it something that they got from their planet?
Is it like motor oil or...
Yeah, is it like vegetable oil from their planet that they can't eat anymore? Is it like...
Secretions?
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's what I would worry... Because, you know, when you say fish oil,
it's from a fish.
From a fish. So krillitane oil...
be from krillitanes.
Baby oil...
Comes from babies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. You got to squeeze them a little harder to get it out. But yeah, I found that if you shake them up a little bit, it
baseball.
Loosens it up. And then... No, I love babies. Especially the plump ones. You can just shove them right in the oven. Thanksgiving...
apple in the mouth.
Hey, you know, Thanksgiving season and Christmas and the holidays mm-hmm. and stuff, you got to think about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
but this was one of the krillitanes that won't be eating anybody else because kablooey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there were 13. So we, in the teacher's lounge, though, I said, you know, she gets introduced pretty early on, and then we talk about a bunch of other stuff. But our good friend Sarah Jane Smith shows up, and apparently she's a reporter who's supposedly doing a story on, you know, how great the grades have suddenly become at this school.
Yes.
You know, and, oh, you know, we could tell the story and, you know, possibly other schools could, you know, they're all interested in your techniques. So it's Sarah Jane Smith from classic Doctor Who. And those of us who grew up watching Doctor Who were jumping out of our shoes
at this
point. I was
going to say, how excited were you to see her come
back?
Super
excited.
And you didn't know that she was coming back at this, or did you hear rumors? Yeah,
the previews or whatever had spoiled it.
I'm sure
that she
did.
Was coming back. So this was, you know, much like American TV, they give away the big surprise always.
Yeah. I'm sure it didn't.
Next
really
time
ruin
on
it.
Doctor Who,
Sarah Jane Smith.
Sarah Jane, oh my God.
See, if this was American TV, it'd be, you know, next time on Doctor Who, an old friend visits the cat. What? There's a school reunion.
And I love how she meets him, but she doesn't recognize him, obviously.
Yeah,
right.
She can't see through the regeneration,
mm-hmm.
but he still uses the same name. And she's like, oh, I used to know a guy that...
Well, John Smith is a common
name.
It is.
Which is,
which is what he says.
Yeah.
But she finally sees the TARDIS, and my daughter's watching it with me, and we both immediately thought the same thing. She just peed her pants.
She's snooping around the school. The doctor and, you know, his little Scooby-Doo gang are snooping around the school at night to see what's up.
I love that they are all snooping of their own accord at the same time.
And it stands to reason that Sarah Jane picked up these habits when she was a companion back in the 70s or 80s.
When she was a journalist then, too, right?
Yes, and that's how she kind of got tied into this whole unit thing, because she met the doctor when she was at unit, or before she was at unit. That's how she got tied in, because she was an investigative journalist, got tied in with unit and the doctor,
which
and
one
then became a companion. She started with Pertwee, the third doctor, and so she's actually cool with this whole regeneration thing because she's seen it. And when we last saw her, though, she was with the fourth doctor,
right?
And he had been recalled to Gallifrey.
Okay.
And so it was like, well, no humans allowed.
Right.
Because Gallifreyans
Time
are very
Lord's
racist.
Club.
Yeah.
Was this in, I mean, they mentioned this in the episode. Is this actually what happened in the original series too?
Yes. This was just before the Deadly Assassin. So they had finished their adventure, and she had said something about going home, and he had got the recall to Gallifrey and knew that he had to go back, and it was going to be a live or die mission. So he just, bam, on Earth. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you.
And he was supposed to be dropping her off at home, which I guess was in London, because she said something about going back to Croydon, and he dropped her off in Aberdeen instead, which I had to look it up because I was like, how far is it from Aberdeen to Croydon?
Yes.
It's like from DC to Detroit, basically.
Wow.
It's a long ass way.
Wow.
It's not like on the wrong side of town.
Oops.
It's on the wrong side of the country.
At least he dropped her in the right decade?
I think so.
Well, see, that's the other
thing. Right island.
There's some controversy in the Doctor Who world about when the Sarah Jane companionship was happening, or when the Doctor was with UNIT. Because they kept trying to hint that it was in the near future. So even though the third doctor was in the early 70s, and then the fourth doctor was in the mid to late 70s, they always tried to shift it ahead 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So but try to explain away technology or something.
But at the same time, another writer would be on another episode and screw it up by having them referencing current day events. So there was always, and the doctor, when he first started dealing with UNIT on the new show, I think it's coming up in an episode. The 10th Doctor mentions, oh, yeah, I've worked with UNIT before. It was, you know, back in the 70s or the 80s. Can't really remember. I always get that mixed up. It was something like that, you know, where it's like, eh. So he just leaves it vague that, no definite time stamp on it.
Now I have a question.
Yes.
Did the 4th Doctor, because I would assume it would be the 4th Doctor, if any, did the 4th Doctor and Sarah Jane kind of have a romantic relationship?
No.
Was it ever kind of like even mildly hinted that...
It was very friendly, but at the time, they were very much sticklers for the fact that they did not want the doctor to come across as a sexual figure.
Okay.
And they pushed the limits. Well, you know, maybe they had the thing that bugs me about, okay, he's 900 or 700 at the time, 600, hanging out with this 20-year-old, that's kind of icky. Yeah. But, no, it was, it kind of got pushed because he ended up marrying one of the companions who came after Sarah Jane.
Right, and that was...
Romana 2.
Romana 2, okay.
And, you know, Lala Ward. And it was this... there was some natural chemistry just because you have a couple working together. So it kind of came across in the show, even though it wasn't scripted like that.
Okay.
And in, as an overreaction to that, the Fifth Doctor wasn't even allowed to put his arms, like, in a friendly, brotherly way around the companions. Because he had to be this standoffish, he's this elder type thing. So it wasn't. It was nothing like what we see with the current Doctor. The whole thing
kind of got. I mean, I just kind of got from this episode the way that she was acting towards him.
She was the longest running companion,
and she was. She still is a lot of people's favorite.
Yes.
So I don't know. Just something about the way that she talked to him and the way that she talked to Rose.
Well, right. Maybe, they were very close.
Maybe it has something to do with the last however long it's been, 20 or 30 years that she's spent. Pining after him, maybe she attributed feelings that weren't there originally that she may have developed waiting
for
him.
may have been feelings then that we just didn't get to see and again with the real world reason being that the BBC censors weren't going to have it, but you know, just it was the subtext you have to see.
Right.
Because, like I said, they were very close. And when he left her on Earth to go back to Gallifrey, he was very moved by it. It was one of the few times in the original series, or the classic series, that you could really tell he was hurt to be a dick the way he was.
But he did say that he was going to go back for her, apparently, right? But he just never did. Did he, like, lead her to believe that? Because, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting from her, too, is like... Oh, I'm just going to drop you off here, and then I'll come back for you or something. That's kind of what I was getting from
this. It's been a while since I've seen the episode, but I don't think it was any... It was just like, fine, go. See you later.
It must have been kind of a retconning thing to...
Yeah.
Okay.
So that she's not angry at him, I guess.
But, you know, I think it's more of her knowing that he's been around. Like, when they finally... After she sees the TARDIS, and now they've... She knows that... John Smith is actually the Doctor. And they start catching up, and she's like, oh, you've regenerated. And he's like, oh, yeah, half a dozen times since you saw me, probably. Which is dead on, because he's the 10th Doctor, and he was the 4th last time she saw him. So there's like 6 regenerations ago. But she, you know, mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, the alien spaceship over London on Christmas. Figured you were up there. Like, oh, yeah, right on top of it. Well, and so I think that was kind of a thing of her saying, yeah, you've been in the neighborhood, but you couldn't stop by, you couldn't call, you couldn't... Right.
The issue being that she just said, I thought you were dead because you didn't come back and I haven't seen you since.
Yeah.
But then a few weeks ago during Christmas, I just assumed you were up there. I thought you just assumed he was dead.
Oh, confused. Well, yeah, it's a good point.
Well, maybe she had to, like, kind of pretend like... that he was dead in her head, you know, like when you lose somebody, it's easier to pretend like they're dead so that you can move on with life.
Well, that's a thing with, I know from some of the books I've read on divorces, that it's easier for people to have a spouse die than it is to get a divorce. As horrible as that is, because if they die, it's a finality, they're in the box, they're dead, you mourn, and then you... try to get on with your life. Where with a divorce, especially if you're the person being left, it's just like, oh yeah, there they are, you saw them at Walmart the other day,
right?
Eating chips with some guy.
And if you're the one that got dumped, you know, are you gonna think, well, maybe you could we could rekindle it at some point or whatever?
So that was, you know, maybe like you're saying, she just killed him in her head.
Yeah,
it was plausible that he's probably dead. That's why he didn't come back. Not because he doesn't love me anymore and wants a younger companion. Like Joe Grant, that whore.
That dirty, dirty whore.
She posed naked with Daleks.
She did.
I never did that. So he loves me more. That's why he gave me the tin dog.
Did he actually leave K-9
yes,
in the episode?
Did.
Okay.
No, not in the... What, how did that happen? No, that was actually... There was going to be a Sarah Jane spinoff series in the early 80s.
Oh, okay.
And so she goes to her great-aunt's house, and it turns into a, you know, Scooby-Doo mystery. But when she first gets there, there's a crate that had been delivered for her, knowing that she was going to be there, and she opens it up, and it's K-9. And so it was, I think, K-9 Mark III, because original K-9 stayed with Romana II when
so,
she left.
So he just leaves 10 dogs K-9s. Behind with yes. companions?
Sorry, well, I dumped you. Here's a tin dog.
Well, it's like, hey, you know, I'll miss you, and K-9 will miss you. So K-9 will stay with you to make, you know, you break up and they get the dog. But then he just makes
a new one.
Yeah, and then he just makes an exact copy with all the same memories of the previous one for, you know, the Doctor Master.
All I want to talk about is spoilers. Okay.
Moving on. Actually, before we go on to the next topic, because I think this is a good place to take a break.
Okay. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
What's up, dudes? It's Alfredo Torres, and if you guys are into the latest in zombie subculture, literature, movies, comic books, the place to go every Tuesday, Torres vs. Zombies. TorresVsZombies.com. Check it out and find out tips on how to survive the upcoming zombie apocalypse. It's a great time. It's every Tuesday, Torres vs. Zombies.
Hi, I'm J.K. Woodward.
And I'm Daryl Taylor.
And together,
we are...
Hi, I'm J.K. Woodward.
And I'm Daryl Taylor. And together...
I'm J.K. Woodward.
And I have erectile dysfunction.
Hi, I'm J.K. Woodward.
And J.K. Woodward is a cunt.
You motherfucker, that was perfect until you came. And together, we're... Happy Al, where the fuck were you? Oh, for fuck's sake, we haven't said anything about the podcast.
It's us, what do you mean?
I take his happy hour.
We're stupid, so you don't have to be.
Wait, say that again?
We're stupid, so you don't have to be.
That's it? What is that? That's the commercial. JK's happy hour, we're stupid, so you don't have to be.
Are you serious? I think a bourbon is getting
deep. We have Mondays.
JK's happy hour can be found on iTunes and thetaylornetwork.wordpress.com.
Fuck it, we suck. Why are we doing this?
Okay, and we are back. And we were sorely missed. We have to get some new commercials. I'm getting tired of the old ones.
I'll give you a broadcast commercial.
I don't think that'll be able to be aired.
We'll have to talk about this sometime with the mouthybroadcast.com podcast.
Fine.
But, talking about mouthy broads, we have Rose and Sarah Jane now meeting each other. And Sarah Jane was, you know, kind of gracious at first with the, oh, is this your new assistant?
I'm not his assistant.
Yeah, Rose doesn't like that. So
the claws immediately came out with Rose.
Who's this? Yeah. Oh. And so they're sparring, and I love what Mickey says. You know, you're having every man's worst nightmare. The ex meeting the missus.
Yeah. And I'm sure the doctor was very uncomfortable by both of them being referred to in this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think the doctor at this point is still kind of in denial that he is having feelings for Rose, if he even is at this point.
Right.
And Sarah Jane is not really the ex. I mean, he kind of is, or she kind of is, but...
Well, he left her behind for her own good, but I think she is the closest companion from the classic series, I think, that you could compare to her. I think it was very good that she came back while Rose was the companion.
Yes.
Because I think she's original series Rose, except for you, I'll go ahead and say that she was very smart and...
she was.
Incapable.
Yes.
I mean, there were a few times that she was the damsel in distress, but...
Yeah.
What I really like about this scene is that it really shows you, I actually think this is a pretty good episode maybe to start people on, Because it does give you an idea of the Doctor. It addresses regenerations. Mm-hmm. And you really get to know Rose and Sarah Jane by their interactions. That Rose is jealous, and so is Sarah Jane, but they're jealous for different reasons. And,
and I could see that, but I'm not sure. Would it have the same impact to see Rose interacting with Sarah Jane if you didn't already know Rose? Like, would you think that she was just that jealous person all the time?
I think if you're from, if you are coming from Classic Who, and you haven't seen any of them, but you were a fan of the, I can't see how you could be a fan of the original and not have already seen this. But if you were, this would be a good episode to start somebody who is a fan of the original classics and haven't watched the new ones.
Like, it's Sarah Jane, yay.
Right. It gives you something to kind of connect to. And you're feeling the same way. Because I think she addressed that a lot, too, in this episode. That Sarah Jane was like, oh, you know, we used to be like this, and we used to do like this. But this new stuff is good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she kind of bridged a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things I think you mentioned. What was it? That the Doctor never mentioned her. When they're going down the hall, and
Rose is like, oh, if you were his companion, then why didn't he ever mention you? Really? Never?
Yeah.
No, don't think so.
Must not have been that.
She acts like, Rose acts like she was under the impression that she was his first.
She basically said that at some point. She's, yeah. I thought I was special. I thought I was the first one. I didn't, I'm just the last in a long line of companions.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess that's not something he brings up very often.
Well, right. Another thing, though, that he wouldn't probably bring up Sarah Jane is that, if I recall correctly, it's been 300 or 400 years since he's seen her.
Yes, so it's been while.
We got to think from his point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for Sarah Jane, it's been 30 years maybe since she's seen him, or 30 or 40 years at most.
I haven't eaten enough chips to do the math on that. So
yeah, but for him, it's been a few centuries since he's seen her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, he's been through the Time War. He's fought countless Daleks and other aliens.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I guess I didn't mention her.
Oops.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mention a chick that I knew 400 years ago. Sorry.
Yeah. But Rose has got this attitude like she just found out that her boyfriend slept with 100 other people before her. You know,
oh, they're,
like,
they're,
you didn't tell me.
They didn't necessarily.
In a
37?
row.
I was going to say, it's not like they compared numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, how many companions have you had versus how many Time Lords has she had?
Oh.
And it's like, right. Oh, yeah, awkward.
You were my first.
Yeah, well, the Doctor's first companion was his granddaughter. So moving on.
Yeah, well, that's totally
that
different.
Doesn't count. So, okay, his first non-related companion would be, what, the teachers?
Oh,
Ian and Barbara.
Yeah.
Susan, his granddaughter's teachers.
Okay.
So, and they were kind of a couple. Because that was back when he was in, you know, again, non-sexual Doctor. He was grandfather mode back then.
He was the old guy. He was just hanging out.
Grumpy old man.
Non-sexual Doctor. It sounds like a album title.
See, this episode, whenever Drew's on, we always have great episode titles for the show, because now I want to use non-sexual Doctor. We may have to, like, do a vote after the show to see, you know.
Yeah, we'll take a poll.
We'll
write
these down.
That's what they do on Trek FM, actually.
Huh?
We vote on the titles.
I just generally, the night before the show goes up, am finishing up the last edits and typing up something, and then just try to pull out something. Like last week's episode was, or a couple of weeks ago, what was it for the Christmas invasion was?
Ashy Christmas of Death.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that one. I did like that one.
Okay.
Because I know we hadn't come up with one, so good job.
Yay.
Good job, editor.
Yay. And make sure you check out our mobile version. Because there's actually, I do a featured image that's only available on the mobile, or if you share it.
Yeah, if you share it on Facebook, you get the little featured image. Yeah. So.
Which I didn't do a couple of times on Facebook.
Ooh. I did it.
But, you know, I'm the only one who has access to Facebook. Oh, no, I'm not.
That's why I said I did it.
Okay. I never saw it.
Stop fighting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So usually we have Dennis to... that's when we... most of our arguments happen on episodes we have Dennis over. And
yeah. He gets really uncomfortable. It's hilarious.
Awkward.
Because he's actually there. I can just like close the lid on the laptop.
It's like, okay, this is becoming a little too much. So
let
I'm going to close...
Let me just pull up the notes over the video. Okay.
Okay. Why do I hear Ben screaming?
Like a little girl.
I heard a woman...
It's like Mickey.
Or the Picard faint. That's my favorite. And down he goes. The Doctor doesn't do that, though.
No. But Mickey does scream like a girl.
Yes, because while Rose and Sarah Jane are having their initial confrontation, a young girl screams in the distance.
What was that? Oh, it was Mickey.
Oh, because Mickey's found the rats.
Bunch of, like, vacuum-packed rats.
Which I thought was kind of funny. Mickey. Rats, mouse, Mickey Mouse.
I already made that joke a couple weeks ago, and you rolled your eyes at me for that
No,
one.
Mickey
I could
Minnie.
Hear your eyes rolling in that one.
It was like... That was the sound of my eyes rolling. So, yeah, then he sees them fighting, and he... I like how he said the Doctor... You know, I guess he kind of always... had the Doctor up on a pedestal like he's this special guy, and he's like, you know what, he's just like any other bloke. Yeah. He's got these girls fighting over him.
Yep.
You know?
And he's got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Mickey doesn't have those problems.
No. Mickey has never had anyone fight over him.
Poor Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. Not.
Did you just but not?
Yes, I just nodded.
Wow.
Again, showing my age.
Showing your age.
Psych!
He was really gloating over this whole thing, especially with Rose. It's like, oh, how do you like this? His ex came back. And then she's sitting there shoving chips in her face, and he's like, maybe you should cut down the chips.
Yeah,
now that you've got competition.
Fatty.
But
fatty,
then,
fat, fatty.
No, but the Doctor and Sarah Jane... while fixing K-9 at the little restaurant, you know, Sarah Jane just lays it out for him. You know, you just left.
Mm-hmm.
And then after taking me to all time and space and all these great things in the universe, you just left me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you expect me to go on after that.
Which
you're still investigating things and you've got an adventurous life. Yeah. It's not in space.
It's not
in
the same.
Time.
Not the same.
There are no Daleks.
Yeah.
But
there's no Cybermen. There's no ancient Italy.
But when she gets her own show, she gets all these kind of things. I mean, what changed? Just after this episode, all the aliens are just like, hey, Sarah Jane. I've not seen any of the episodes.
Hey, have we been to Croydon lately? No. Well, you know how the Doctor always stops us if we go to Cardiff? Maybe we should check out Croydon. I bet he wouldn't have... Yeah. Oh, gee, Sarah Jane's there. God dang it.
Kind of like how in Power Rangers, showing my youth, they always attack Angel Grove, because that's where the Power Rangers are. No, then attack France, because that's where they aren't.
We're going to build our giant super base of invasion in Angel Grove. We really, because the Sahara is pretty distant and open, and we could just set up the whole base there and mm-hmm. destroy the planet. And you sure you want to go to Angel Grove?
Yeah. It's nice this time of year. Love it.
Ah, geez, lions. Oh, wait, that's the wrong show. I'm thinking Voltron.
They had a lion once.
Oh, okay. And a mastodon, I think.
Yes. Actually, wow. I think the mastodon turned into a lion, so that's really good. Yay! Yeah. Power Rangers!
Mastodon rocks!
I have a friend who is a huge Power Rangers fan, but he likes the original Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the first season of Power Rangers in America, he gets really upset. He's like, oh, yeah, the first year of Power Rangers. Oh, you mean from the 70s?
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Like when they morph, the Yellow Ranger is no longer a woman.
Yes. What?
like really obviously.
Well, yeah. I never noticed when I was watching it, but apparently I always knew the Pink Ranger was the only one with a skirt, but I never noticed that the Yellow Ranger
had a bulge.
Yeah, that
what?
A David Bowie like bulge.
I was young. I wasn't looking for that.
Exactly. So now I have to go back and watch Power Rangers again. But my favorite was always the Green Ranger. So
yeah,
he was the smart one. Nerd. Or at least on the season I watched.
Nerd.
Well, call him a nerd. Something to be proud of.
No, I'm calling you a nerd.
Oh, well. But I think that same thing comes up with Doctor Who, where a lot of people think Eccleston was the first Doctor, and it's like, no! Stop!
Don't you know anything?
I like that the Internet Movie Database has them as two separate shows, so that really throws a wrench in some of your ideas.
I don't like that. Especially when thinking of Dave, you know, well, my favorite's the second Doctor. Oh, yeah, Patrick Troughton was pretty good.
Who?
Who? Ah, jeez. Not one of you people. So the Doctor splits up the team again, though, for them to, you know, like, crack in and see what the heck's going on in this place.
Yes.
And Sarah Jane and Rose go off.
Because that was a great idea on his part, to send the two of them together.
Well, maybe he knew what would happen, that eventually they would find their commonality.
Yeah. And they do. I mean, they fight a lot. Like, oh, I saw this.
Yeah, I like their little comparing notes. Mm-hmm. It was like a little trip down memory lane for me with Sarah Jane. But
yeah. You know, so now all the things that she mentioned, were they actually in episodes? That's really cool.
Yeah.
So mummies, like I said, and...
Yep.
Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
Really?
And that's when Rose was like, what? And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember the Loch Ness Monster episode. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk too much about it because I think that might be one of the ones that we can review in the future. But, yeah.
So in the middle of this meltdown is when they both suddenly at the same time realize that they're fighting over this guy and it's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
They should be friends because they have so many things that they have in common, really.
Well, Rose mentions that, you know, this is just like with her friend. Who the only time they ever had a falling out was when a guy was involved.
Right.
And
it probably wasn't Mickey. Ever.
No. Poor Mickey.
Yeah.
We may have to take a note from Charlene's page and have PDM. I think you actually mentioned that, Drew, on one episode. Poor dumb Mickey.
Is PDM. That copyright?
Yeah, we have to pay a royalty to Charlene whenever we mention poor dumb Mickey.
Not going to do it.
Just like if I say I sent you a message.
We'll pay her 5% of every show.
Yeah, everything. Well, everything that we pay Drew, we'll give her 5%.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds
fair. Wait, from mine or just on top of my pay?
No. We'll go ahead and say on top of what we pay you.
Okay.
We'll give her an additional 5% on top of that.
Wait. So she gets 105%.
No. You get the 100%. Oh. And then whatever 5% of your 100 is. So I have to do the math, but 100% of zero, and then I have to multiply that by 5%. So 5% of zero, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You don't divide by zero.
No, we never do that on this on this show.
Oh, okay, good.
The TARDIS had the paradox thing, and it stripped some gears.
It's a mess.
You don't want to do this. Now, one of the things when the girls start laughing about how silly they're being, and the Doctor walks in, and they just... crack up.
Yeah.
And I guess there's the behind the scenes on that is that David Tennant had put something on his face or whatever. And they didn't tell them. So he came walking in and so they were actually laughing at.
So it was a totally legitimate laugh.
Yes, to make it more real.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Because
it really seemed like they were a couple of, you know, giggly girls that were like,
mouthy broads, even.
Yeah.
Okay, it's two mentions in one show. We can stop. So,
mouthybroadcast.com.
DorkTrek.com. Trek FM. The Ready Room. I can mention them all. We can be here all night.
But that one's my show.
Okay, yeah, all right. And my new podcast. Ben sits drinking in a room by himself. It's just an hour and a half of me with a bottle of scotch going, and you know what else pisses me off?
I can't wait to hear this.
I would subscribe immediately.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this whole Obama thing. I got you.
Back in my day.
We don't talk about back in my day when it comes to Obama. Back in the 1840s, let me tell you. This kind of shit wasn't going to happen. No Mormon. Ain't going to have no Mormon or a Muslim president. Too many M's. Good old-fashioned Baptist. It's a B. Comes higher in the alphabet. Mainly because that's as far as we can get to. A, B, C. That's why the Baptists came before the Catholics. That's why A is at the top of the alphabet, because like me, asshole. So the presidential order is asshole, Baptist, Catholic. And then D for Democrat. A, B, C, D.
Okay.
Anyway.
Doctor Who?
D is for doctor.
Doctor D is for whom? Doctor.
Oh. A grammar Dalek.
Mm-hmm.
A grammar Dalek.
That's my new thing I've started posting now instead of grammar Nazi.
Grammar Dalek?
Grammar Daleks.
Conjugate?
Conjugate? Conjugate?
Don't get started, please.
You did it. You pulled the pin on that grenade.
No.
I'm going to throw it way over there.
Yeah. When two Daleks fall in love, you know what they do?
What? Procreate.
Copulate. Copulate. And then they procreate.
And when that one Dalek gets dumped instead, masturbate.
Ah, jeez. You made it dirty. Stop.
I ask you to stop. You pulled the pin.
No, you pulled the pin.
Well, there, I just set it off.
And
boom.
Then apparently that last Dalek pulled his pin. So, Mickey figures out that he's the tin dog.
Yes. Because he's the tech support guy. He's usually working the computers.
Right.
You know.
Which like I feel his pain. Like when my friends in college, we were all, I don't know why. We were in college, but we were still like, Ocean's 11 was really big. And so we had like my friend Chadwick. We had Chadwick's 11. And I was always... You can be that one guy. You know, the guy who doesn't really get a name, but he just, you know, is the computer guy. Yeah.
Oh.
Everybody else is Brad Pitt. And, yeah, I was the tin dog.
And you're the tin dog.
Well, at least you weren't the Asian guy what gets folded up in a suitcase.
That's true.
I mean, there's worse things than the tech guy. Being the suitcase guy, that's kind of... I'm going to think that's... Even though he has a very key part... Just from the annoyance factor of it, not the job to get on Ocean's 11. But I think, though, it's being the tech guy for Doctor Who, not quite as bad.
Oh, no.
No, definitely not.
Because you still get to, you know, hang around with the doctor.
And they don't have to put any weird oil on his tongue like they do to the tin dog, the actual tin dog. Like, here, taste this.
Oh, yeah. They use, once they get K-9 up and running, they're able to, he's back to his old self and examining, you know, what is this? Okay.
Yeah.
And identifies out the substances and good old K-9.
Yeah, I have to say that even though I never saw classic Doctor Who, mm-hmm. that I felt nostalgia with Sarah Jane mm-hmm. and K-9. I think the episode does really well of bringing about the nostalgia even in people who not even seen it.
Right.
Like you understand what people like you felt when you saw it for the first time.
Right. I get that.
Yeah, and I think that just the visual of having K-9 there, because he looks so 70s, like even Rose says he looks so disco.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it just looks like...
And the funny thing, he's from the year 5000.
But that was the cutting edge tech, apparently,
yeah.
in the year 5000.
Well, everything's in cycles. We've discussed this.
Yeah.
Just like the clothes in the year 200,000 look just like modern day clothes.
Right, so, I mean, I think that just having that robot dog that they built in the 70s.
Right.
You know, because it looks so 70s, it immediately brings you back and it gives you that nostalgia. Like, even though you never saw K-9 before, you probably saw other robots and other sci-fi shows that had that same look and feel. So you kind of get brought back into it, you know?
I know a couple of places sell the K-9 action figure,
mm-hmm.
and I've always just missed getting it. And someday I will have my little K-9 action, because, you know, like with they have action figure sets now for Doctor Who, mm-hmm. and so I want my K-9, just so I can have him ride around, and I'll get like a Ben action figure and a TARDIS, and they can go on adventures together.
Aww.
I love K-9 is very.
You're gonna get a little Jenny action figure to companion along with you, or.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, sure. I really need the K-9.
Can I get the judo chop action?
Oh, we'd have to modify one of the Pertwee action figures.
Yes.
Because he was famous for his Venusian judo.
Judo chop!
That's why whenever, after watching Austin Powers, I'd go back and watch some of the old Pertwee episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to hear him say, judo chop! And he just, yeah!
Judy chop!
Judy chop. Them ninjas.
Ninjas.
But, no, K-9 for me was almost more nostalgic than seeing Sarah Jane again.
Because K-9 looks exactly the same. He's a little bit, you know,
beat up
on the edges.
But he was also, though, with the Doctor for a long... Like I said, they had K-9 through, you know, the Romana years.
Okay. Now, when did he build K-9? Was that Fourth Doctor also?
Yes. Well, okay. He didn't really build K-9. He actually got K-9 in the future.
Okay.
He acquired him, and that's another episode that we really need to do someday.
Yes.
The acquisition of K-9. Is that the name of the episode?
Yeah, that might be the name of the podcast episode.
Did he pick
him
up from the SPCA?
No.
He really should.
It's a complicated story. God, I don't want to spoil it.
He really should adopt a K-9.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in the year 5000 and you mm-hmm. stop by the SPCA... Or the SSPCA, because that's the Space SBA, SPCA, in space. Make sure you pick up a space K-9.
Yes.
Because they look really disco.
Yeah.
We may have to do a K-9 episode.
I hear the rescue K-9.
For all the dogs I've loved before.
This is going to be a musical episode, isn't it?
Going in and out my door. Yeah. In and out my doggy door. There we go. I'll work on that for next time.
You do that.
Because K-9 would need a pretty good sized doggy door.
He's pretty big.
He's got some, you know, he's a good sized dog.
Like, you kind of have to see him in perspective. Like, my daughter didn't notice how big he actually was until he's in the car with Mickey and he's sticking his head up over between the seats.
Yeah.
And you can see that it's a giant freaking robot dog. It's not
Not like waist high or anything, but he's good. So he's not going to fit in a car. It's a compact car.
He's like a large Labrador.
Why did they have to make him so big? Was that because they could fit the remote controls, or was there an actual dog inside the K-9 costume?
Actually, the guy who played R2-D2 also played K-9, and they just, you know, shoved a midget in there mm-hmm. and said, there you go. They actually didn't have him do anything. They just wanted a midget in there.
So they could credit the role to somebody.
Yeah. It's kind of like what they did with, well, like I said, with R2. Looking at all the robotics going on the droid, I'm like, why is Kenny Baker in there other than you just want to torture a midget?
Especially in the prequels, like when he's CG or
yeah, they
obviously
still had
robot.
They still put Kenny Baker in a trash can. And just told him he was in all these parts, even though it was just a CG part. Poor Kenny is in the trash can going, okay, George, yeah, rock some more. Yeah, the kids love that, yeah.
And he's really, just in they were talking about replacing just having R2-B CG in, like, episode 3, and people were up in arms because they have to have Kenny Baker in it at some point.
Because Americans love to torture a midget. Little
there's
people are not
there's
safe.
Another title.
Torturing the Midget. Next time on an all-new Doctor Who. A midget's tortured. And a tin dog cries.
I thought torturing the midget was like a euphemism for masturbation.
Yeah, I see. Dirty-minded woman. That's walking the Mickey. But, you put Mickey in the car.
Did he slip Rosa Mickey?
Anyway, though.
Where were we on
this show? We've barely touched on the plot.
God.
Yeah. So we come to find out that this school is hyper-educating these kids so they can crack this God code.
Mm-hmm. They're basically going to get the building blocks of the universe.
Right. They'll be able to master time, space, and matter and do anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't just use computers to do it. Because Mickey, you know, are they using the kids as computers? Because, you know, the human brain is a great computer, mm-hmm. whatever. No. They're using the brain as a computer, plus they need the children's imagination.
Oh, okay.
Mm. It's kind of like, and I hate to keep going back to Star Trek, but it's like how, I almost said Nomad, how V'ger came back to Earth and it couldn't make that jump of illogic to there being other dimensions and things. It needed that human imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the Decker unit had to merge with Ilea.
The Ilea probe?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And make the Borg. And the doctor says, oh, no, no, no. Because he does confront Giles about this early on, before he knows what's going on. And says, hey, you know, I'm too old to be putting up with this crap anymore.
I'm going to have to kill you if you don't just listen.
This is your one warning.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's kind of like the doctor's still kind of cold from the time war, that he's like, look, here's how it's going to be. I'm going to give you a warning, and this is the warning, and then I'm going to kill you if you don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Be ashamed if something happened to this pretty school of yours.
Yeah, I got that impression that he was just like, look, you know, something may happen to your plans if you don't don't stop.
I'm going along on the way home, and this time vortex manipulator fell off the back of a truck.
What are you going to do?
And so then I blew up your plan.
Yep. It's all gone.
Giles tries to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
He says, well, if you join me...
I am your father.
What?
Join me and we shall rule the universe.
I'll never join you.
It's not true.
It's impossible.
Let's go ahead and get all the genres.
Yes.
And then Captain Mal shows up and...
shoots him.
Shoots him. Mm-hmm. Actually, Jane shows up and shoots him.
Yes.
I like that Giles, the headmaster, whatever, alien dude, offers the doctor, look, you know, we need your wisdom. We could totally rule this entire universe, forward and backwards. We just need your wisdom and stuff, and you could do whatever you wanted. You could save your people, and it'd be great. And the doctor's tempted.
He is.
Well, I mean, I think it was kind of telling, though, that Giles was very excited when he found out, he's a Time Lord.
The last of the Time Lords.
Oh. And it's one thing, you know, before we get too much into the plot, one thing I did like at the diner scene was on the roof, Giles is spying on them.
Yes.
And one of the native form, you know, bat people shows up in his natural bat form. And when they sit on the roof ledge, that Giles, you know, the headmaster takes the same pose, that squatting bird-like pose that the bat creature takes.
Yes.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he would have done if he was in bat form.
Yes.
Bat form. Anyway, so...
The headmaster looks at his assistant and says, quick, to the bat form! Change into bats.
Well, he also makes an offer to Sarah Jane, because he's... I guess maybe they have some slight telepathic...
I want to sleep with your Time Lord, and I'll give you $1 million.
No. That's not what he says.
Wrong movie.
Yeah, okay. Completely wrong.
Give you $1 million, let me sleep with David Tennant. And Sarah Jane went, is that cash?
Can I roll around in it
all day?
No, he says, well, you could be young again. You could be with him always.
Oh.
Well, that's tempting.
Yeah, but
she's not as tempted as the doctor seems to be, though.
5 years with him is one thing. Forever with him, it gets, oh my god, he always leaves the seat up.
He never takes trash out.
The sink is full of hair every morning. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's shaving something. He never puts the dishes away.
And sometimes he just goes on and on and on, rambling, and she has no idea what he's talking about. She probably is not even listening.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. So, anyway. So they've all had their temptations, and since they are our heroes, they resisted them, which yes. you expect from companions, except Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a
stupid
hero.
Adam.
He was just a guy.
Yeah, he got kicked out. Sarah Jane didn't.
So the doctor throws a chair or something and smashes up the screen.
Yeah, like that's going to stop anything.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of... It was like, before Giles came in, though, he's trying to sonic the Cisco switch router.
I love
thing.
That. I'm just like, what does he think is in there? It's just a switch.
I've got their IP addresses and their routing table. No, it's a switch, Doctor. It doesn't route.
God, look at all the porn they've been browsing.
No, that wouldn't even be
that
in
wouldn't
there.
Be in there.
Store.
That's what's great.
All this is
no. They can see what they can track the history.
No, they can't. Not with a switch.
God damn it! I'm just an artist, not an IT guy. I'm not tech support.
Well, the 210 dogs on this show will go ahead and tell you no. You're getting. Why are you even messing with that? Go to the
yeah. He's like, it's sealed. Why is it sealed? It's just
because it's a network device. You idiot.
Yeah. And what kind of thing was that? The sonic screwdriver doesn't work in this episode because...
Oh, it's deadlock sealed.
Deadlock sealed. It doesn't work on wood or deadlock seals.
Yes.
Right. It's pretty much doesn't work when it's a convenient plot device.
Yeah. And actually, the deadlock seal was one of the Teen Titans villains in DC Comics. Deadlock.
And he was a seal?
Yes.
And he never survived unless he got a little crazy.
Yeah. And then it actually, co-branding with the Ziploc brand freezer bags came out, because they also had that deadlock seal. You put your stuff in the bag, and then you activate the deadlock seal. In other commercials, they had the little animated seal with the mask, and you'd go, oh, 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 and then you'd zip the bag, and it'd change colors, so you'd know it was deadlock sealed.
And there's another one. Another title.
And take a shot for every time we make a bad joke on this episode.
Oh, you can just make the take
I'm
the shot.
I'm already drunk.
Take the shot whenever I make the bad joke, and you need to show up at AA next week.
Yeah.
I'm perpetually telling the bad jokes. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to catch up with you.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good luck.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mickey's in another room.
Yeah. So smashing the screen doesn't help because they weren't looking at it.
Well, my thing is I'm thinking, okay, I don't like something that's on ABC News or I go into your office and you're looking at a website I don't want you to see, so I break your monitor and that takes down the website.
Yeah, see, I'm not as technologically savvy as you are.
So you'd break the screen?
No. But I
solved it!
I do know that...
Give
know,
me chips now. I solved it. I break the screen.
That's not going to help.
Okay.
I mean, I'm aware of that, though. I mean,
even you get that.
Yes.
And you're not even a tin dog.
And I haven't been eating chips either.
And you haven't been eating chips.
So the tin dogs in the TV save the day all of the days.
Yes.
Because Mickey's out in the car because he's useless, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, you do surveillance out front in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure nothing weird happens, like all the doors shut and lock.
Don't.
And he just sits there completely ignoring it.
Doo-doo-doo.
Tula, the one nerdy kid.
Yeah, the one nerdy kid who doesn't go to class because he's not
the kid with diabetes.
Oh, yeah. Beatus kid.
Yep.
We'll call him Beatus.
Beatus.
So Beatus is banging on the doors trying to get out. And
I can't get out. I can't get out. And Mickey's on the other side of the doors beating on the doors going, I can't get in. I can't get in.
Yeah. And K-9's like, well, we have a car. I know we have a car. We can't just drive into the building.
We are in a car.
Mickey doesn't eat chips.
No.
And see, that's why K-9's so smart, because he's made of chips. Huh? Because he's a rope. And there goes Drew.
I'm not sure if you had to go away to laugh or to, like,
it was,
vomit.
It was vomit. Okay. I threw up. That was bad.
I'm sorry.
So Mickey drives the car through the doors.
Yeah.
After K-Dine prompts him, he's like, dude, seriously.
We're in a car.
A car.
You idiot. Mickey, drive the fucking car through the doors.
Oh, Mickey, you're so dumb. You're so dumb. You don't know how to drive the damn car through the door.
Yeah.
It doesn't rhyme, K-9. Seriously, dude, drive the car through the door.
Meanwhile, the kids are in one of the classrooms doing their little computery thingy.
Yeah, jiggy, 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 jiggy.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, how do I get them to stop? Oh, look, there's a plug over there on the wall.
I like how this whole grand plan.
I love it so much.
Yes. I mean, it is so simple. Because, I mean,
He's looking at all the wires, and he's tracing all this stuff, and then he finally just sees, oh, it's plugged in over here. And he just unplugs it, and everything stays saved.
I unplug equipment quite a bit, and a lot of our equipment you're not supposed to unplug while it's active, but I have like the Cisco switches.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an on-off switch. The only way to de-energize it is to pull the plug.
That's so satisfying. All my years of
pulling those plugs, I've never had one spark and make explosive little...
Well, to be fair, those were not set up by aliens to unlock the building blocks of the universe.
And they weren't deadlock sealed.
That's right.
That's also true.
I've never heard that happen either whenever I pull the plug. You pull the plug, you get the... And that's how you know the deadlock seal is deactivated.
You have a problem.
I know.
He's sober. That's what it is.
I've only had cocoa this evening.
Without vodka.
Without vodka. So, yeah, I got this weird sugar thing going on because there were marshmallows in my cocoa.
Okay, yeah. So
anyway.
Mickey saved the day.
Mickey saves the day.
Yay, Mickey.
Well, just like the tip dog.
Because there's monsters. We still have to deal with the demons.
Yes, because they get our heroes trapped in the auditorium or the cafetorium, I think.
Something.
And K-9 shows up just as they're getting swarmed on. And apparently his nose blaster still works.
Mm-hmm.
Pew, 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 pew. He's taking down the bat people left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it? Full defense mode or something?
Is that what he said?
Kirby's going to have to correct me on that. I forgot. Now I feel bad. But, So K-9 saves them as they get out, which is good to see K-9 in action. But as the heroes are escaping, K-9's shooting, and my favorite line of all Doctor Who, when Giles says... Ignore the shooty dog thingy.
Apparently K-9, they haven't been eating those chips.
Yeah.
But K-9 referred to as the shooty dog thingy.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't eat the chips because the oil is toxic to them.
Yeah. So they have to go with what they got.
Go ahead.
K-9 has a gun?
Yes.
Because that seems very... blaster. I mean, it was surprising to me because it seems very non... Doctor Who-y.
Oh, no. See, that's the thing is the Doctor doesn't use weapons for the most part. But he doesn't mind his companions being weapons.
Ah. I think that's explored later.
And I'm sure when he bought the K-9 unit, it just came with the...
Oh, no. He didn't buy the K-9, but K-9 came with a gun.
Okay.
It was kind of a defensive thing.
Yeah, it's standard issue.
Mm-hmm. And he's used it quite a bit on the series. Many people have been stunned. Many people have been stung by the nose of K-9. K-9!
Shooty dog thingy.
The shooty doggy.
And it comes in handy one last time.
Yeah.
As they lead them into the kitchen and the explode.
Giant barrels. Because the barrels are apparently deadlock sealed, too.
Yeah. Why not? Great. Everything's deadlock sealed. Except for that one that opened accidentally and spilled out.
Well, that's why they are deadlock sealed now.
Yeah, that must be it.
Okay.
It's like, oh, crap. You know, maybe we should deadlock seal those, too.
Because whenever there's a new safety rule, it's because somebody got hurt. I guess we should go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it before. Cool. Okay.
Cape does not enable user to fly.
Yeah. But K-9 says that his shooty nose thing can break the barrels.
Yes. So he sacrifices himself.
Yeah. After he evacuates everyone else, the Doctor and K-9 stay back, and they have their little moment of goodbye.
Aww.
And it was kind of touching.
Good dog.
Oh, yeah.
Affirmative.
Yeah. I love K-9.
Yeah.
And it was
I mean, even though it's just a robot, like, Sarah Jane kind of tears up at the end.
Yeah. Well, she thinks, you know, when this blast happens and it splatters the aliens with the oil, which is now going to cause them all to die, Giles gets his last, you know, in when he's, you know, he's a bad dog.
Mm-hmm.
And K-9 very gleefully says, affirmative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this. Like, oh, yeah.
He's a little smart-ass dog.
He is.
It's great.
He is. And boom, they explode. And apparently they explode with vigor.
So that was them exploding, not K-9 self-destructing or anything.
No, this was... All he did was blast the oil open.
I guess we have established that they do explode, but that's
seems
and with an overreaction.
It's one thing to get all like exothermic-y, but when you go to that level, because this school really blows all to hell.
Yeah, nice big gasoline explosion.
And boom! And the kids, of course, even though you know they've been evacuated out front and they've been brainwashed for the most part, kids are going to be kids. School just blew up.
Yeah, school's over.
And then they have to ask Beatus, wait, did you have something to do with this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody, Beatus blew up the school. Yay. And this is one of those things that we kind of touch on again and again, that the Doctor sets up things and then leaves. So my thinking is, even though this was the whole alien invasion threat thing going on, when the authorities come to investigate why the school that was having record grades suddenly exploded, all the kids are going to rat Beatus out.
Oh, yeah.
So he's in, like, he goes to reform school right after this episode.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
It's as soon as this episode, we get the credits and stuff, the police constables come up.
Right. Because they're not going to believe that it was, like, aliens.
And he's like, oh, no, there were aliens, and there's this
guy. And a robot
from...
dog.
Yeah, and that reporter lady, she was in, you know, Sarah Jane, you know, she's been playing this game for a while, so she knows he's like, you know, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That poor kid.
Yeah. His whole
that
life
poor
is.
Kid.
So I think for the 50th anniversary, we go to 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
And the Doctor re-encounters Beatus. And now he's like this hardened war criminal. Mm-hmm. He got out of prison, out of reform school, went straight to
trying
prison.
Trying to kill him.
All he has to do is like throw a cake at him to defeat him.
No, because he's like Bane. Where in the comics, Bane has the juice, the venom going in all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's just insulin.
He's got insulin going constantly. So you're throwing cakes at him and he just laughs.
And he's got the mouth cover thing so that he can talk automatically.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, though...
You won't defeat me, Doctor.
No, but
your punishment must be more severe.
But he... The thing is what makes him such a villain, besides the fact that he's trying to take down the Doctor, is the way he fuels it. He can't just use, like, man-made insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to kill people and steal their pancreas. and so he's like, he's almost like this organ harvester.
So it would be pancreas, not pancreases?
Well, if we were talking about you, it'd be pains in the asses, but...
Oh, wow.
So, school's out for summer. Well, it's probably out forever. And everything wraps up nicely. Yay, the Doctor saved the day. And Sarah Jane finally gets a goodbye from the Doctor. Because he tries to hem and haw. Oh, no, I'll probably, you know, see you later. And she's like, look, just give me this. Let me have a freaking goodbye.
Okay.
You killed my dog. The least you can do is say goodbye.
He does actually see her again later. That's not a...
He does, though, ask her to come with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you could come back again.
She's not having it. She's like, my time is done.
Right.
But she does reach out to Rose and say, hey, you know what? I know where this is going. And in fact, even Rose said something like, no, I've been to the year 5 billion. seeing the future is Sarah Jane. Mm-hmm. This is my future, is being left behind by you.
Yeah.
So, Sarah Jane recognizes this a little bit, and she says, if you ever need me, find me.
So maybe Sarah Jane has set up like a support group for former companions.
I'd like to imagine that.
And so they all meet at Sarah Jane's house on Sunday afternoons for tea.
Yes.
And talk. They have like a meetup group online.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a little Google Hangout for the people that can't show up.
Yeah. They have them up on the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very nice.
And Mickey decides that he wants to finally come on as a full-time companion.
And I love this.
Yeah.
Because Rose is pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I think her answer was correct, the first thing she said. Because when he said, you don't mind if I, or, you don't want me to, you don't care if I go. And she, No.
No, of course not.
Mm-hmm. No, come on. Great.
Yeah.
Sure.
The more the merrier. Whoop. Fucking dude, my boyfriend's coming along.
Yay.
Great. Awkward love triangles.
Hey, why don't we just go ahead and bring my mom, Captain Jack. Let's all have a big party in here. Woohoo.
So I want to know, did Mickey finally get a taste of adventuring and he's not being a coward anymore, and that's why he wants to do it? Is he just trying to stir things up now?
Maybe he's trying to get close to Rose again to protect her from being the crotchety old lady who's, I got left behind by the doctor.
And all I got was a dog and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Or maybe he sees that, she might get left behind one day.
Do you remember when 10 dogs could talk? Pepperidge Farm does.
So he wants to be there to collect her when she gets left behind, which is, again, very sad for Mickey because he's just the second choice for her.
I think he's perfectly fine with that.
But the doctor's happy to have Mickey along. Because the doctor actually asked Mickey.
A couple times, yeah.
First season he asked him. And Mickey said, that's not my game.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's tired of being the tin dog. He wants to spend time with Rose, so he's going to go. Sarah Jane says, you should go. So the only person who seems to have a problem with this.
Rose.
Is Rose. I think part of it, though, is not just the whole possible love triangle. This is her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is her special thing. It's like when you start a podcast and you think it's really cool, and then your girlfriend's like, I want to start a podcast too, and just like saps some of your energy from it.
And you know what? I'm going to say the same thing that Mickey said. You mad?
Yeah. So the doctor leaves.
Yep.
And I like how when Sarah Jane's walking away, she really doesn't want to look back and see the TARDIS go.
Mm-hmm.
But she does. And when she does, Old Yeller had puppies.
That's sweet.
Yeah, she gets a new canine.
And the music's all swelly, and I get all teary-eyed, even though I've only known these people for like 20 minutes.
It's amazing, because, to hear you guys say that, because you guys didn't watch the old stuff as much as I did. And because I know Jenny's watched some, and you, Drew, you've definitely not watched
10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for me, I grew up with Sarah Jane and, John Travolta? I grew up with them. Mr. Cartier. But I grew up with Sarah Jane.
That's two Connor jokes.
In the 70s, when I would watch an episode of Welcome Back, Cotter, I'd see a special appearance by Groucho Marx, and then I would go on to watch an episode of Tom Baker, Doctor Who with Sarah Jane and
K-9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's just what happened.
That's how it was back in the 70s. It was a crazy time. Nixon would be singing Sock It to Me, and next thing you know... there's a shooty dog thingy. It was classic. And
good times.
We liked it.
Good times in the 70s.
Yep. And then Bill Murray would come on and do the lounge singer thing. It was awesome. Star Wars. Oh. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's it for that episode.
Yeah. And this is one of, I say this so many times, but this is one of my favorite episodes.
This was a really good one. I love this one.
I can't really judge this episode on its own merits. Mm-hmm. There's no way for me to be objective about
this. It's a Sarah Jane episode. And, you know, something I noticed with this one is that I feel like the story was kind of just a vehicle for the character development again.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the opening to the season was, you know, the story wasn't as strong because they were just trying to reintroduce or, you know, introduce the new doctor and
right.
get everybody started again. Well, this one, I think the story was better. You know, but it was a vehicle for the character development. It was just a better story. Than
so I can't remember. I don't even know if they probably didn't even have plans for Sarah Jane Adventures at this point.
I don't think so.
I think it was because of this that they saw the kind of reaction
mm-hmm.
that there was from the public that, oh my God, Sarah Jane, we love her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess we should mention that Sarah Jane did pass. Elizabeth Sladen.
Yes.
Well, Elizabeth Sladen, yes. the actress who played Sarah Jane, passed. But they never killed off the character.
Really?
They just ended her series.
Oh, that's sad.
Because
that's great. Because Sarah Jane can live on in our
right.
imaginations.
And I will not lie, I shed a tear for mm-hmm. Sarah Jane. And I hate to do that for actresses and actors because it's like, they're nobody. I mean, they're just some people on the screen mm-hmm. or whatever. But I got really weepy that day. Because she was such a special person.
Yeah.
She was always just... This is one of those cases where the actress and the character seem to really come across as the same energy.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, sometimes you can have, like, you know, this happy character or something, and then you find out that they hate kids and, you know, they... beat their wife and they killed a dog when they were a kid or something, you know, and you're like, wow. And you get that whole the old thing of never meet your heroes.
Right.
You get this. But she always came across with everything I've ever read about her as being such a warm, sweet person.
Yeah, just very genuine person.
Mm-hmm. And except for the whole thing of traveling to the future and fighting Daleks and stuff like that, they had a lot in common, I would think.
Right.
I would almost think if you took, you know, Elizabeth Sladen and put her into the Sarah Jane situation, she would adapt.
Yeah,
probably. And be a very Sarah Jane-like mm-hmm. character or person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we should dedicate this episode to Elizabeth Sladen.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all sad.
Aww.
Because, well, no, Sarah Jane and K-9, now I'm all nostalgic and... But, Drew, what did you think of the episode?
I wasn't mocking. I was literally being...
Let Drew talk.
Watching it again, I think I've settled on this as being my favorite episode mm-hmm. of Doctor Who.
Of wow. all Doctor Who? Like, of everything that you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I mean, there's certainly more exciting episodes and stuff, but I like the... Because I can feel it managed to make me feel nostalgia for things I'd never seen before, mm-hmm. and I think that shows that it is special. And mm-hmm. I think it's got good interaction between all the characters. The villain is, you know, not, you know, terribly evil. I mean, he does offer everybody the right thing. Like he's not like, oh, you know, doctor, you should join me or I'll kill you. He's just like, no, I need your wisdom because we're going to be awesome like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the effects were kind of dodgy.
Yeah.
But, I think it's a really, really solid episode and, it's not overplayed. You know, they didn't bring back Sarah Jane every other episode.
Right.
Like they end up doing with villains from later episodes, everybody else's favorite episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't break its own rules. It's got, I mean, except for the deadlock thing, which is kind of, well, why doesn't everybody lock everything like that?
We do see deadlock seals come back a few times. So that I think this kind of, I think they may have, yeah, they did mention it on the game station. Because the doors, he couldn't use the sonic screwdriver to get out when he was in the Big Brother house because the doors were deadlock sealed.
Hmm.
And so he couldn't sonic his way out. And so he had to do the whole well, then they'll have to kill me thing.
Gotcha.
So we've seen
the okay.
But it's going to be a thing. They come up at the most... It was almost like the Sonic Screwdriver had become a get-out-of-jail-free card, and they didn't have anything to trump it with.
Right.
Because it's like, well, yeah, it doesn't work on wood, even though in the classic series we see it work on wood a couple of times. But it doesn't work on wood, but he's in the future, so there's not that much wood, so what can we... Ah, got it, deadlock seal.
Right. Because that was kind of like almost a joke with the classic series, that he could do anything with this.
Well, it was even more so. I mean, it was getting pretty bad on the original series, so they destroyed it on a Peter Davison episode.
Oh, okay.
And then I love the line, I feel as if you've killed an old friend. But on the new series, it's kind of turned into this Dos Equis machine for them. And
the return of the Dos Equis machine.
Yeah. And they had to have something to kind of counter that. And so I think Deadlock Seal had to be introduced to kind of balance out the universe.
Right. That yeah. makes sense.
But for the most part, I think I agree with Drew. And it's really interesting for me to see, you know, listen to you guys discuss this. Especially Drew, with your nostalgia for something you've, you know, never seen before. Because I definitely felt that. And so to see that, you know, it was like so powerful nostalgia that it would make people who weren't even, you know, around for it nostalgic. That's awesome. So I would definitely recommend this to anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a good episode.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we're at the part of the show, so we want to thank Drew for being here this week.
Yes, thank you, Drew.
You're welcome.
Always glad to have you on our show.
Always fun to be on.
Yeah, I always enjoy doing shows because this is one of many. Last time Drew was on the podcast, we actually had a day of podcasting together.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Because we did the season finale, and then he and I went immediately over. We jumped in our cars and drove speedily across town to the Trek FM studios,
the other side of the town.
Yeah, and recorded an episode of. The Ready Room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always fun to have Drew on the show.
Yes.
Yay.
So tell us where we can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me on the interwebs at Twitter. At Twitter. There's just one at. Hold on. One at. 005 with an O, not a zero. All spelled out. They can find me on Trek.fm, where I just wrote a new article about fonts.
Ooh.
Ooh. Actually, we'll read that.
And they can find me sometimes at Cinetropolis.net, where I sometimes blog about general movie stuff. And I think that's it.
Excellent.
Awesome. And we'll try to make sure we get that in the show notes this time.
Yeah. That would be helpful.
Yeah. Well, Drew can go ahead and add that on the page, and then I'll make sure to link it in.
Yeah, you said that last time. Yeah.
Well, I added some links. I told you, it's usually 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm finishing these up. But I will definitely do it this time.
Okay.
Or Jenny will beat me.
That happens.
So I would never do that.
Yeah. Go ahead and make your little nods off mic. That's nice.
No.
No. Yeah. Okay. Which is funny because in Thailand I usually had to pay extra for that. But we'd also like to thank our good friend Daryl Lewis for making the theme song that we use each week.
Yes. Yay. Our wonderful theme
song. It's super cool.
And he's also one of our recurring guests.
Mm-hmm.
One of our
on the
former
Ashy
companions.
Christmas of Death episode.
And see, my thing is, unlike the Doctor, we actually go back and visit our companions.
Yeah.
That's
and have
true.
Them back.
Yeah.
So, Drew, we'll see you in 40 years, and we'll have...
Will it be 400 years my time?
No, it'll be 400 years my time. It'll be 40 years your time, and you can ask us why we left you.
In Detroit.
In Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah. In the Great Recession. Awesome. You left me in Detroit during the recession at 2 in the morning in the worst part of town.
With a tin dog.
With a tin dog. Thanks. And a broke blaster. So I wouldn't mind being in Detroit if I had a fully functional canine.
You might
make it out before his batteries died.
I'd still rather not go to Detroit.
But you can check out...
No offense if you're in Detroit. I'm just saying.
No, I love Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, I was emptying out my pocket change after work one day and had enough to buy 18 city blocks. So it's
the future Playing Doctor Studios will probably be in Detroit.
Those 18 square blocks will be our new worldwide headquarters.
Yes. Well, just one block. The rest of it will be like barbed wire and minefields.
Yeah, you have 17 blocks of minefields and barbed wire. It looks like some kind of World War. Anyway, we got to get out of here.
Yes.
We want to thank Daryl Lewis, FlyingMonkeyMotoGear.com. Huh?
You already did that.
Did I?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You can check us out on the web at PlayingDoctorPodcast.com.
We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/PlayingDoctor.
You can find us on Twitter at PlayingDoctors.
And we're on Google Plus, gplus.to/playingdoctor.
Okay, and on iTunes, obviously, you can get the link from our page where you also have a link to Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to call us, you can call us at 434-993-TIME, mm-hmm. which is
434-993-8463.
Yeah, 8463. Wow. Print is really small.
You can call us about our show, you can call us about an upcoming episode of Doctor Who, about a past episode that we've done,
mm-hmm.
anything that you want. And if you call us, we may play your message on the air.
Yeah, so know that you're being recorded and it becomes our property.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm Reality Amok on Twitter.
And I'm at Jenny_Z.
So let's get out of here because the TARDIS is here and we need to close up the shop. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. That's terrifying.